Penguin Random House Audio presents Armored by Mark Graney. Read for you by Adam Gold. For Trey, Kristen, and Kyle Graney. Creer es poder. Believing is power. Chapter 1. A hazy sun descended over the azure waters of the Mediterranean and shone orange across the coastline of western Beirut. The early evening glow glinting off the high-end sunglasses worn by most of the 15 American high-threat security operators spread around the outskirts of the crowd. The entire protection detail, minus the team's three drivers, stood in a horseshoe-shaped formation around a parking lot next to a marina and across a wide boulevard from a row of high-rise waterfront apartments. Their protectee stood at a lectern on a stage before an undulating crowd of some 500 souls who surged and receded, both energized by and contemplative of the words of the speaker, and the shifting movements of the gathering looked like the gentle waters of the Med lapping in the slips of the marina next to them. On the western side of the horseshoe, a pair of security officers stood just feet apart on a low wall that separated the parking lot from the docks. The men were outfitted similarly to each other, and much the same as the rest of the team. Long-sleeved, moisture-wicking shirts, body armor, ball caps, jeans, athletic boots and G-Shock watches, Oakley shades and Peltor headsets, and rifles across chests festooned with body armor, pouches for ammo, pouches for medical supplies, pouches for radios, and pouches for a myriad of backup weapons and other gear, both lethal and less than lethal. It was the job of these men to meet violence with superior violence, and they stood at the ready. The pair on the low wall were distinct from each other, however, in that one of them was well into his 40s, whereas the other was still in his 20s. Their sector responsibilities included watching both the gathering itself and the boats docked in the slips of the marina behind them. And while doing this, they could also feel the energy from a small group of men standing on the outskirts of the event, in the parking lot of a sketchy waterfront hotel adjacent to the rally. This was a campaign speech, so it was no surprise protesters were there to oppose the candidate, but the malevolence from this group of 15 or 20 men was palpable. The people in view were the main burden to the protection detail's work, but beyond the throngs, there were dark apartment windows, shadowy alleyways, and a busy thoroughfare, as well as the marina full of boats and an ocean beyond. Danger could come from any vector. The Americans knew this well. The older security officer didn't transmit over his radio. Instead, he just whispered to the man next to him.
Ain't this a shit show?
These things are always a shit show, boss.
We need another dozen Joes to secure this scene. Panther acts like he's fucking bulletproof.
The younger man glanced to the protectee, passionately speaking Arabic into the microphone. Then he looked back to the dark-eyed men on the periphery.
Hope none of those jokers over there try to prove him wrong.
The older security officer chuckled at this as his eyes worked the scene. He, like his teammates, expected an attack at any moment, because it had happened before. The Americans had arrived in Lebanon 3 weeks earlier to replace what was left of another executive protection detail. The first team were locals, trained well enough to deal with some threats, but they'd been nowhere close to proficient when facing a well-trained unit of combatants, which was exactly what they'd come up against in the city of Sidon. Four of the candidate's bodyguards had been killed, and another five were injured, but the candidate and his wife, who always traveled with him, had miraculously survived the attack unscathed. The candidate then made the politically questionable decision to outsource his campaign's protection to an American firm, and since then, no one had tried anything. Yet, anyway. The bustle of the major metropolitan city seemed to grow in the lulls of the speech pounding from the speakers set up in the crowded lot, and all the bodyguards were certain that somewhere out there in this metropolis, another gang of assholes was planning another attempt on their principal. The older security officer again spoke softly to the younger.
You feel it, Bravo 5?
The young man's eyes swept right and left.
I feel it, One.
Nothing else was said between the two. Their heads just scanned back and forth, their grips tightened on their weapons, and they stole the occasional glance out to sea at the setting sun. It was 7 p.m. now. There was less than an hour of light left, and the bodyguards looked at the onset of nightfall with trepidation. They wanted their protectee. The team had given him the codename Panther, buttoned up in his hotel before these dangerous streets turned dark. But Panther was signing their paychecks and calling the shots. They'd go back to the hotel when he said they'd go back to the hotel, and not a minute before. The two men on the wall overlooking the crowd did not speak fluent Arabic, but they had heard this speech enough times in the past 3 weeks to register that he was wrapping it up now. Soon, the cheers from supporters grew into a crescendo as the silver-haired man pumped his fist into the air, his attractive, middle-aged wife shifting in her seat on the dais behind him. She was more than ready to go. This, both men could tell. Panther beckoned his wife forward, clasped his hand in hers, and raised it over their heads. The crowd applauded. The shadowy figures on the fringes stood and stared, and the two security men leaned a little closer to each other. The older man said,
Hey, kid, check Tabby out. Looks like she'd rather be anywhere else on Earth.
The younger man replied while still surveying the grim faces on the other side of the parking lot.
6 months ago, that lady up there was living high on the hog in Paris. If her husband gets elected president of Lebanon, her whole world's gonna go bananas, and she knows it. Think he's got a shot?
My job is to make sure he doesn't get shot.
Roger that. You think we're done for the day after this? Nothing else on the schedule, but...
But Panther likes to call audibles. There's still some daylight. Bet he makes one more stop at a hookah bar or a mini mall before packing it in.
I hope you're wrong. My feet hurt. Ditto.
And then the candidate and his wife headed for the steps down from the dais to the parking lot. Just behind them, the agent in charge of the American security team moved in sync with the couple, and he spoke into his mic at the same time. The pair on the wall heard his call through their headsets.
Alpha 1 to all call signs, we're moving. I want double diamond on Panther all the way back to the motorcade. Drivers, fire him up. Look alive, boys.
The older man jumped down from the low wall, and the younger man followed him. The older man said,
We're on rear security.
Roger that, One. The crowd surged forward as the entourage made for the three SUVs, just a few dozen yards away. Alpha 1 put his hand on the principal's shoulder as he barked into his mic at his men on point.
Push him back, Charlie team, push him back. We ain't set for no meet and greet.
Bravo 5 heard a quick reply from Charlie 1 at the front of the diamond-shaped formation.
Roger that, MC, MC.
The candidate and his wife made it to the sidewalk, and local police held most of the crowd inside the gated parking lot so the VIP could get clear of the scene. But the candidate stopped abruptly and turned to Alpha 1. Bravo 5 watched from 20 yards back, still making his way through the locals, but his headset told him what was going on.
This is Alpha Actual, all teams hold. Panther wants to talk to me a minute.
Bravo 1 shouldered up to his junior teammate.
You called it, kid. Panther ain't ready to go back to the hotel.
Always another hand to shake, I guess. Alpha 1's voice came back over the net.
All call signs, listen up. Panther wants to take a ride down to the promenade for some glad handling, but Tabby ain't feeling it. I'll take the lead in Alpha Vic. Charlie 1, you're the limo. Take Panther and Charlie Vic. Bravo 1, take Tabby along with Bravos 5 and 6 in the Suburban. Trail the limo and the lead Vic till we turn off on Saeb Salam, then get her back to the Phoenicia. The other three Joes on Bravo team can...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?